You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. According to the latest One News poll, the Opportunities Party, or TOP for short, is polling around 1% of the party vote. Despite this, the party has garnered a lot of media attention and public interest for their bold policy ideas. One of the more popular policies the party has introduced is their teal card. The teal card has been introduced as a gold card for younger New Zealanders. As a part of the program, New Zealanders over 18 and under 30 would receive free healthcare and public transport, as well as a $5,000 savings boost if they complete a national civics course. I spoke to the Opportunities Party's Ipsum candidate, Dr. Nina Su, about the teal card and TOP's health policy. I started by asking Dr. Nina about what is offered as part of the teal card program.
So the teal card is basically what we've proposed as a gold card for young people. So anyone under 30 can access this this package of great stuff. So what we're saying is we need to invest in young people so that they have the best opportunities to be healthy and thriving in our society. So what we're saying is let's fund free GP visits, free dental, free eye care, free mental health care, free public transport, for young people, as well as give them a $1,500 fund to buy bikes, e-scooters, because we want to encourage cleaner forms of transport that are more healthier for people as well. And also there's a $5,000 universal saving boost if people participate in a five-day residential course for the civics course, so things like learning about our democratic system, learning about first aid, finances, things like that. And, you know, we're really, really excited about the teal card because it's the only policy that's really investing in young people to give them the best opportunities to thrive in New Zealand.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a little bit because those policies all sounds like a big investment. So where is the money coming from for this? How much will this cost the New Zealand taxpayer?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. So it was all completely costed in our policy. If you check out the website, top.org.nz, so it comes from things that are already costed in our budget. For example, the Climate Emergency Response Fund, as well as with our income taxes, we've introduced a higher tax bracket as well. So it's already fully costed, and also it doesn't include the reduced spend on health as well when we have people who are healthier in their 20s not having as significant health problems and dental problems in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask as well, have you been receiving any cross-party support for this idea, or have you seen any other parallel policies from other parties?
I think realistically there's no policies out there that are really out there with policies specific for young people. And I think we can convince other parties if we have the votes and get to Parliament. I think we can convince other parties to come our way.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about that as well, because a lot of the main concern for people who are considering voting for the Opportunities Party is the worry that you won't get over the 5% threshold. So this is a policy that clearly targets younger voters and gives them an incentive to vote for the Opportunities Party, but what is a TOP policy that's going to incentivize older voters to make the change and vote for the TOP party?
I think a lot of older voters are worried about their kids and worried about the grandchildren. And there are a lot of older generations who are worried about the climate. And I think they're wanting to vote for the Opportunities Party because they see that we actually want to make the system more fair so that young people have better opportunities. Young people will actually want to stay in New Zealand instead of, moving over to Australia, moving over to Canada, whatever.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a little bit about that as well because, you are a doctor and you've got experience in the emergency department and in children's medicine. Yeah. And we're seeing record numbers of nurses go overseas, and especially to Australia. So I wanted to ask you about TOP's health policy. And as part of your health policy, it says that TOP wants to strengthen workforce retention of all healthcare workers by ensuring they have a fair and livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
How will you institute policy that helps keep people in New Zealand, especially healthcare workers?
Well, I think when you look at what the other parties have promised, none of it is about actually retaining healthcare workers. It's about how can we build more hospitals, how can we train more doctors and nurses, but that won't do anything for the doctors and nurses that we already have. What we've seen with the strikes of the various different healthcare worker groups is that the Ministry of Health or Te Whatu Ora are having difficulties with negotiating with these different groups. So what we need to say is actually we need to value healthcare workers. They are the core of our healthcare system, and we actually need to meet them halfway and actually fund them properly and pay them properly, because they're feeling the squeeze just as much as everyone else is in this cost of living crisis. And these people who are healthcare workers, they choose to be healthcare workers. They can also choose to not be healthcare workers. If we don't value them, they will just leave healthcare or move overseas, and we will all suffer if we lose all our healthcare workers.
I wanted to ask you where the money comes from for this, and where in the budget do you think there's gaps and holes, or we can make savings in order to pay our nurses and our doctors more?
So I'll talk to you about a conversation that I had last year with the chairperson of Te Whatu Ora. We had significant staffing crisis in terms of we had lots of vacancies, but actually the total spend on employees staffing was actually no different. And the reason for that is because we had all these gaps on the roster, we were paying so much more for locums to fill those rosters. So even though we had less staff, we were spending just about the same on staffing as we were before, because we were relying on locum staff rather than just paying people properly on a permanent basis. So locum staff are people who are casual, people who are contractors who get to charge a bit more per hour because they're not permanent staff, if that makes sense, like temporary staff.
And you've worked in the industry, so I wanted to ask you personally what you think the biggest issue right now with health system is, and what some possible solutions are to that.
What we had with the centralisation of Te Whatu Ora and all that from the last couple of years, that we've completely left out primary care. Primary care is exactly the same as what it has always been. So what I'm talking about is general practitioners, the GP clinics. So they are still a private business that's publicly subsidised, and that model hasn't really changed for decades and decades. And what we've seen is that people still can't afford to see their GP. It's costing $40, $50, $60, $70 just to see their GP. And when we have that, there are people who can't afford to see their GP, so they get sicker. They, their long-term health issues aren't addressed. They aren't, addressing their health issues early, so they get sicker. They can't afford to see their GP, so they go to the emergency department. And our hospitals are full of people who've got preventable illness. And that's having direct impacts on things like elective surgeries, because if the hospital is full, then what we do is we say, oh, the elective surgeries, they're only elective surgeries, so we'll just have to cancel them because it's not safe to run the hospital when it's at 130% capacity. So it all comes back to primary care. So we need to think about upstream interventions to make sure that people get care when they need it, and it's accessible for them, and it's appropriate for them as well. So I think what I would like to see is more services being able to be delivered in the primary care in the community, but also funded correctly, so that that cost isn't just going on to the people.
To ask you about one particular, part of the issue with our health system and that kind of symptomatic cause relationship is food pricing. We're in a cost of living crisis. People can't afford to eat healthy, and that's impacting health further down the line. So I wanted to ask you what the Opportunity Party proposes in order to combat rising food prices and make sure that New Zealanders have enough to eat healthy.
So I think fundamentally we've got a productivity and a taxation problem in New Zealand. So we tax income so high, and we have let the land value go stratospherically out of control, basically, in New Zealand. So what we're having is that's having a lot of flow and effects on poverty. So people having to pay more and more and more for rents and mortgages, and just simply not having enough left over to pay for things like healthy fruit and vegetables. So I think fundamentally we need to be looking at how can we change the tax system so that we get more money back to our low and middle income New Zealanders, and also take a control over our housing crisis, basically. So if you look at our tax tax policy, it's a tax switch. So what we're saying is we need to take the burden off of income and put it onto land as a form of asset tax. So what we're saying is we have a $15,000 tax-free threshold. And in New Zealand, we tax from the very first dollar. Whereas if you look at Australia, you can earn up to $18,500 in Australia and not be taxed. So we're saying if we introduce the $15,000 tax-free threshold in New Zealand, plus shift the tax brackets, we are directly helping the low and middle income New Zealanders by giving them over $30 a week back. And that's far more than what you'd get from the GST off of fresh and frozen fruit and veg that Labor has proposed.
I just want to finish because this is our first interview with the Opportunities Party, and I wanted to ask you personally, you're running for the Epsom electorate, seat that has been a stronghold for the ACT Party and David Seymour. So I wanted to know, just in your own words, why the people of Epsom should consider making the switch to looking at you as a potential candidate for them.
Look, the Opportunities Party is about future-focused policy. It's about fairer policy and making sure that we have good opportunities for all. Our health policy is all about investing in the now so that we get better outcomes in the future. And health is a problem, is a thing for everyone. Everyone is going to need to access health at some point in their life. So I don't think it matters whether you're low income, middle income, or high income, or whatever. You know, we should all have an investment into getting better health outcomes for everyone, really. And we should all be invested in having a fairer tax system and better opportunities for everyone, because that's how society is run, really, together.
That was the Opportunities Party candidate for Epsom, Dr. Nina Su, talking about their teal card policy and their health policy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.